This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You have your choice of
I'll do this one.
Okay.
Wait, isn't that what you usually over here though? I'll do that one.
Okay.
Sure. Seems better.
I mean, it's up to you.
What do you usually do?
I honestly I ask the guests where they want to sit and they sit there. Whatever you're more comfortable.
I just feel like Bob was there.
Bob was in New York. This is Los Angeles, California.
I'll do this.
Bob was in, okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
But then this seems like such a big, why am I overthinking it? My hat down.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you? I haven't seen you in a while.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
I have one very specific thing I want to ask you about. Oh, actually, I shouldn't put my phone on silent because it makes a funny noise when I get an alert. Okay.
Are you going to do any stand-up while you're here?
Tonight, I'm going to do in this thing.
Hey!
I'm going to do like a tight 10 in this. And that's why I asked you down here to be the audience.
I'll do that.
A couple rules, no videotaping.
What?
Please put your phone on silent and
You don't want me to put it on the floor.
Oh, there's a. Did you walk or drive? No, you didn't.
I drove.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say there's a. We're using a C stand. Drip drive.
Oh, man.
Are you cold or are you trying to be formal?
I like the look of this jacket.
Okay.
But you're going to do Largo or anything like that?
No, I'm actually going to do I think it's like one of those. It's an improv show at Dynasty Typewriter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think you go out and you do like a monologue, I think.
That place is great.
I've never been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's pretty.
I've heard great things.
It's really nice. It's kind of like maybe a little bit of a sketchy area to try to park in.
Where is it?
It's Wilshire and like almost downtown.
Okay.
That little run of Wilshire, like where it almost starts to turn into downtown, and it's
so past Koreatown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
And it's small but nice. Anyway, you're gonna
How long has it been around? It's been around for a little while, right?
Now it's been around a while, maybe like I don't know, 8 years or something.
Who runs it?
These two people run it. I forgot their names, but they're really cool. I think there are a couple. Yeah.
So don't hit on either one of them. Here, let me get you.
So hit on them.
Hit on them. Polyamory style.
Oh, please. Come on. It's fantastic.
I know. I love the idea of it.
I found out about it this morning.
the hard way? You had no idea what you were in? And then it was explained to you?
I had no idea. And then I got the definition and everything. I was like, oh, my God. Wow.
Now, there's also, you guys might know this, there's a term, polyamory makes sense in the Latin aspect of it, the root of the word is the definition of the word itself, but now there's, and I'm completely ignorant to these things, but I think there's a new term. I think pretty much means the same thing where people go, no, I'm not polyamory. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Polycule? Is that the word?
No, is that it? So, I think if you say it, I'll know what it is, but it's...
I think I know what you're talking about, but I forgot what the word is. It's almost like shorthand.
Yeah, but polyamory. Yeah. All right, yeah, five syllables isn't been much. Are people having difficulty with that? I got time. I got stuff to do. I can't be saying polyamory all the time. There, I just wasted a good half second. You know, there is a new, but it's
thruple.
No. That thruple is like the cute kind of thing. This is a thing that people say. No. I'm not polyamory. I'm this thing. My wife.
It means multiple partners. Or yeah. Just like you're attracted, because like pansexual is like.
No, it's that. Not. It's not that. It's specifically about multiple partners. And.
It's not just poly. I feel
my wife said it was talking about this, and her publicist said this term, and she's like, "What's that?" And she's like, "That's what you say if you're polyamory, but you don't say polyamory anymore. You say this thing." And I'm not sure what was wrong with polyamory. It serves a purpose.
Yeah, it's clear.
It is. Maybe they're anti-Latin. Because they were occupiers, the original occupiers.
Woo!
But I did. I know I'm digressing here, but I saw the original occupiers when they reformed and opened up at the Mud Stage at Glastonbury.
Yeah,
2019.
Yeah, they're shockingly still good.
Yeah.
Which is like I was ready not to go. I was like, I'm not gonna go see the occupiers.
But you like their original.
Oh, of course. I was like, but I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna be part of this. Hit after hit. I was like, I know that song, I know that. And like
you forget how many amazing songs they wrote. And the other thing is you know, Gibby, the guitarist, is 82 years old. 82.
Jumping around. Same dude. Mm-hmm. You know, same.
I admire that.
Looks a little older, but I was like, great. You want to jump around? Jump around. Yeah. It's fantastic.
And they covered Jump Around by Crisscross. Jump Around, you know?
And Good For Them.
Yeah.
And I Stayed.
And they Stayed. Yeah, they covered Good For Them.
Yeah,
you know?
They covered Good For Them. I loved it. I sort of walked away, like, big smile on my face.
Yeah.
I was, you know.
Was that your smile?
Yeah, yeah.
That looked fake.
Big smile on my face just on the way out. And
wait, can you do that big smile again? That doesn't seem honest.
With
earnest.
With my hand, too.
Hmm.
Right, but right as going through the merch and stuff. And by the way, parents with their kids.
Yeah.
Young people. It was shocking.
It's polygenerational.
Polygenerational.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, look, I'm not giving a shit at all. I did have, you know, I was a little on the fence, as it were, like, because of what you just were describing. But yeah, it was an amazing show, and I thought the video interstitials were really cool, and I thought the I wasn't expecting an 11-minute drum solo, but...
But weren't you?
I wasn't. When it was happening, I was like, okay, I guess I should have anticipated this, but...
But the video interstitials, we'll talk about this after. You know the editor. I'll talk to you later about it. I found out, yeah. Brilliant, but I'll talk to you later about it.
Who is it?
Someone we worked with.
Thelma Shoemaker?
Yes, but we'll talk about it. Brilliant, but...
Yeah. I thought it had Shumi's stamp on it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But we'll talk about it just because we have some funny stories.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, why can't we do that on the podcast?
I'm worried about time.
Oh, how long are these stories?
Oh, these are like half an hour stories.
Okay, so we can tell two of them.
Okay, we'll do two stories.
Okay. And then you'll come back and you'll do the rest.
And then we'll do the rest of this thing.
What are you doing now? What are you, what do you want about? What's your sitch?
What am I doing? I've been touring this this stand-up thing that's for musicians, where I bring instruments on stage and I just talk about chords and drums and stuff. And I've been doing that. And just, you know...
Because this is a follow-up to...
Stand-up for drummers.
Yeah, drumming for dummies.
Yeah, drumming for dummies.
Yep. Dumb drops.
So, yeah.
drum drops.
Drum drops.
Dum dum drops.
The only, yeah, it's the shortest stand-up special. It was like 7 minutes or something.
That's pretty short.
I made
I made
8 million.
Wow.
I think. So I've just been doing that. But the moment I start talking about stuff that I've been shooting, I always hear myself and think, oh God, I don't want to sound like. Sometimes when I hear people talking about like
what when I asked you a question, you'd be answering it. There's nothing pretentious about that.
That's true. I did this show. I shot this show for Netflix called Unstable. Don't wait. He fell asleep. Yeah, you're snoring in your sleep.
No, what was the show?
The show that I did.
Quiet. Don't wake him up.
And I think on some of the takes they used. I've been doing all. I did a tour of England that I really loved.
Doing stand up.
Yeah. Same show.
Where did you perform?
Leeds, Sheffield, Margate, like a little seaside town. Brighton, London, Glasgow, Edinburgh. Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I loved it so much. I loved it.
I like touring the UK.
Can't get enough of that place.
Birmingham was, I haven't done Sheffield or Margate, but I've done the other ones. But Birmingham was a bit of a bummer walking around. It was like.
Interesting.
No, you liked it?
No, but on stage, because we only got in that day and we had to leave early the next morning, but. I said on stage, and I meant it. I was like, yeah, this place is beautiful. And they laughed at me.
It's not beautiful.
They fully laughed like it was a joke.
It's not beautiful. It's like, it would be like going to, I mean, it's like the,
Detroit. Detroit or like anything industrial.
And yeah, and Detroit
Indianapolis.
Industrial, but also has seen its better days in the past.
Gary, Indiana, that might be extreme.
No, that's a little extreme. But it's, yeah, they're aware. It's just, it's a little bleak.
Like, I'm not from England, so this all seems.
And it was your first night there.
Yeah, and it was.
And then when
funny.
You went to.
And then they laughed, like for
Manchester,
real.
You're like, oh boy, I really messed up.
Yeah,
just cracking Birmingham
other,
like that.
These other, like, really quaint cities.
Yeah. Edinburgh, especially, is beautiful.
Oh my God. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, I love doing that, doing those. Where do you perform in London?
This place called Earth, which is like this performance kind of new place, but oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Really, really, cool. Really, really cool. It's a good way
where,
to start.
Where in Glasgow?
Tour.
Do you do the Oran Mór?
No, this place, oh, I wish I could remember the name of it. It wasn't that big, but I don't mean it like it wasn't that big. I mean, like, I don't think it's like a well-known place.
Right.
But it was great.
Yeah. So, I like Glasgow a lot too.
Yeah.
It's cool. Well, that's good. It's always fun.
When you tour, do you go on a bus or do you like fly from city to city?
Until this last tour, I'd done a bus the last three times, but because my daughter was in school, I didn't want to go out on the road for, 3 months.
Right.
So, and I'm not going to do it this way again because it was really pretty brutal. And my wife was like, fuck that. Don't worry about it. Don't. Go out and do what you do. We'll visit you and stuff. But so I would go out on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come back Sunday night or Monday morning, and then get up and hang out and take her to school and stuff. And after a while, it was just fucking brutal because, especially in the United States, so big. I mean, you'd have to, I think, 5 or 6 times I had to stay at the airport hotel and then drive from fly into the airport and then drive if I was doing like Fort Collins, Colorado, or I'm trying to remember them, Tucson or something. You'd fly into the city, Phoenix, then you'd get a rental car, drive 2 hours, wherever it was, Albuquerque to Santa Fe, whatever it was, do the show. And I was doing meet and greets afterwards. So I'm not done until midnight and then drive back, crash at the hotel, at the airport, get up and go get on a plane.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, I fucking, I mean, it was affecting me like physically and, you know.
And emotionally, like airport hotels, even though it's efficient, you're like, oh, great. I'm here early for my flight. Something is like a bummer about it.
Yeah. I mean, because it's an airport hotel too. Yeah. And there's no like, oh, I'm going to go out and walk around. And,
yeah.
You know, get off the tarmac, asshole. You know, you can't, there's no place to go.
No. And they also don't clean it. Like there's something like that people are just going through. So it feels a little bit like.
It's a lot of pilots and, you know.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to pilots, by the way.
Shout out to pilots.
You guys fly us around. If you ask nothing of us, it's insane. Thank you so much, you guys. That's incredible.
And 10% of Fred's tour is going to pilots, the Pilot Institute.
Insane. That you guys know the way and you guys are in there, you know.
Up and down.
Up and down.
Up and down. Up and down, you guys.
You know, insane.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Wherever you are.
Thank you for that.
No, you have to.
Yeah. But I will say this. I want to make sure I get this right. The Denver, the hotel at Denver, at the Denver airport.
I know which one you mean.
Which is brand new.
Yes.
Is awesome.
That's a really good one.
It's really good. Like, yes. I would stay there again. And also downtown Denver is a bummer. You know, there's the homeless, drug, mentally ill situation is really out of control. And the, if I was just coming in for a night, mm-hmm. I go, I'm going back to the hotel. It was great. It's a great hotel.
I think it's like, from what I remember, it has like, for what it's worth, a decent view. Like you could see some of that statue, that crazy.
Well, you can see the Spirit Airlines terminal.
Yeah.
And they're yellow. Their planes are yellow. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You can see a couple Alaska Airways, which has the big Eskimo on it. You know.
Well, that's how you see it.
You're right. I should see it as a big Eskimo with a plane on it. Yeah. And they must be so, the Native American population in the Pacific Northwest must be so thrilled to have, you know, Chief Seattle Seattle's named after Chief Seattle. And they've really done a service to honoring his memory.
Yeah, they really did.
And Alaska Airlines, you know, with their Christian tracks.
Yes.
Because Native Americans were founded on Christianity. That's a thing. And and they are so thrilled to be...
Hence the name, Native Americans.
Wait, are you running that together as one word?
Yeah, Native Americans.
I think there's
a Christian sort of...
Right, that's Aramaic. That goes way back.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't guess. I'm telling you it's Aramaic. Right. I'm not... I went to seminary school for over 19 years.
You're right. I don't guess. I hear.
Right. You hear and then presuppose.
Yeah. And then I could say, I guess when I tell somebody else. I got to play the crowd more.
Yeah. Which cameras, Fred's? We'll go with three. All right.
Because you guys are pretty nuts.
No. We're looking over there.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to do it again?
Because you guys are pretty nuts.
No. We're going over to camera three over there.
I'm sorry. Because you guys are pretty nuts.
Well, okay, that time you didn't say it quite the same way. Maybe.
You guys are pretty nuts.
We could add
I'll
a little
see
bit
you
to
out
it.
There, but you could maybe add a delay to it or echo when you guys edit it.
A delay? That would. All right. About reverb? Make you sound like you're in a big.
Yeah, that's good.
Hello. What should I be,
I have nothing to promote. I really don't. I just loved watching this. I watched it on YouTube and then I was like, hey, I want to do
ones,
this.
Which ones did you see?
I saw Bob's and Janine's.
Okay. Those are early. Those are early ones.
Who's been in between?
Oh God, you're 118.
No way.
Yeah, we wanted to get you much later, but somebody fell through. I don't want to say it's a little delicate because of the news, but King Charles has cancer, and so he wasn't able to come and do it.
He's got to go get treatment and stuff.
Yeah. He's got an ointment he puts on.
Yeah,
and you can only get it. You can get it everywhere, but you can only actually like apply it in England. Yeah, legally.
I want his doctor.
Why? That now, sounds like it'd be not, a pain in the ass.
You're not supposed to answer why.
Oh,
it's like it's a. It's a type of comment you make where you're supposed to just go like, oh, tell me about it. Or like, of course.
I'm telling you about it. I am telling. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're having a conversation.
I know,
but I don't understand that. When people say, tell me about it, it's like, I am telling you about it. That's we're in the process of happening.
Or it's almost like they're saying, go further.
Yeah. And then when you try to, they're like, hey, I just said, tell me about it.
Yeah.
That clearly means stop telling me about it.
Yeah, that's true. It is. It's like saying stop. It's really hard working out in the sun. Tell me about it. Okay, well, I sweat.
And then do be interrupted with, it's rhetorical, asshole.
I call you the guy an asshole. Jeez, that's so harsh.
Yeah. It's rough out there.
I think it's easy out there. Sorry.
Ever the contrarian.
Yeah. Sorry, I think it's real easy.
I tell you what, I will amend that because since I've become rich and famous, it's kind of easy out there.
Yeah.
You know?
A little easier.
For a pimp, I mean.
Yeah. Restaurants, airlines. You get on a plane now, you don't have to pay.
Boy, I haven't reached that level.
Oh, yeah. You go on and the pilot's like, oh, my God, please.
You made it all the way through.
Yeah,
oh, my God, please. I love
they see you, they
your
go,
sprockets, right?
Go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Sit down.
Sprockets.
Shut up.
Get in there. And the pilot is greeting you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Like,
wow.
Oh, my. Hey, what's going on? Sit down. Wait, no.
Hey, get out, ma'am. Take your child and head to the back.
Oh, my God. We're good. Just promise to take a picture with me. Thank you.
Have you had I'm sure you have, but tell us a story, an anecdote of, you know, celebrity getting you access to something you might not actually have.
Wow. There is a thing, so, like, it's such a cliche, but there's a sort of restaurant thing where, not always, where it's a little bit like, where, you know what, I see it manifest itself when there is one employee who doesn't know who I am. Like, I'm sorry, and then someone will show up and like, no, we're fine. We're right this way. Something as simple as that.
It's
The balance that there's someone who's like, you know.
And you are, you come across as an extremely amiable, affable, almost sympathetic, weak kind of character. And
that's because
personal.
Yeah. Well, my family's very weak.
Yeah, you come from a long line of
people. Oh, my father was very weak.
Yeah.
And my grandfather, and when, you know, my grandfather is very weak.
Yeah. He seemed fragile.
Fragile, but at an early age.
Don't want to upset you.
Yeah. Yeah. Even, you know, pictures of my dad and my grandfather as kids, very, very weak.
And how does that show up in
Like people around them, first of all, being like, oh my God, please help them.
They're and cowering also, and wincing.
Cowering and wincing. Yeah. Also trying to carry things that I'm like, that's a towel. That's not heavy. Right. And they're like, I'm like, Dad, it's a towel.
Yeah.
That has no weight to it.
How were you not able to overcome that?
Through weakness. It's really, because at first, when you're a teenager, you rebel against weakness. Like, no, I'm strong. I'm a teenager.
Right, of course.
And then as you get older, I'm like, you know what?
Coming into your own, yeah.
It's part of me.
Yeah.
You know, you embrace it and you tell people, hey, I'm weak.
And then when...
And it's weird. And then you meet someone else who's weak. Ah, you know, and you sort of like, you start getting together and you're like...
Yeah. Water seeks its own level. You know.
Yeah. You know?
You hang out with... is there any kind of like men's club or anything? Weak men's club or...
Yep.
Yeah.
There's like a kind of, you know... It's a kind of like a lot of apologies and sort of whimpering and a lot of help. So now that we know it, like someone will help us with our cups and stuff, you know, cups of coffee and everything's too hot or too
cold.
That's
where the dues come in that you're paying
for.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Because I know I had read the dues for that are astronomical. You know?
But you have worth
to have,
it. Yeah.
Everyone's got to have a couple helpers.
Oh, you need a helper.
Yeah.
Weaken volume of voice, weaken everything.
Yeah. So because of that, you've gotten some, you've gotten into restaurants when they've been had yeah. a full. Yeah, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
My wife will, and you know, like you, it doesn't work all the time, but sometimes it does. And it's always a nice surprise. And you'll do it as long as you know you're not cutting in front of somebody, you know what I mean? Or I won't. But you get, my wife will send me to the, you go in and ask, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They know that it's packed. And half the time, you're like, yeah, take my hat off and, you know, make sure I'm as recognizable as possible. And half the time, they're like, I'm sorry, we don't have anything. And they, know or no. But then, like you said, you get the, he's okay.
It's someone, like there'll be someone who can...
And most of the time that happens, they're like, right this way, Mr. Armisen. And I'm like, sure. Yeah. I'm Sprockets.
Yeah.
I'm
Sprockets.
Because they'll make you, at some point they'll go, do Sprockets.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure that, okay. And I just do it.
No, you may as well.
Yeah.
I've had people... say to me, recently I was in Las Vegas and someone said, this couple was like, oh my God, Bill Hader.
Oh, this is great. This is the last time, this is, I don't know, a month ago or something. I was in London with Amber and we went to this pub that we used to go to when we lived there in Shoreditch called Al and the Pussycat. And we walk in, it's packed. And I spent many nights there, did their pub quiz and all that stuff. And I walk in. I don't really remember everybody. It's been a while, but this guy's like, oh, hey. And it's kind of younger staff. And I'm like, hey, assuming why, you know, he was there when I was there before. And then these other people are talking to the, you know, other people behind the bar are talking, you know, to themselves about me. And I can see that out of the corner of my eye. And this guy's like, hey. Blah, blah. And then he says, after a good, like, minute or two of, quote, recognize me, unquote, he goes, I can't remember how he started it. Like, he goes, so you're him, right? And I go, you know, I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, and Amber was there. I told him, and he goes, you know, I'm a fan. Okay, thank you. And then the other guy comes over. They've been talking, right? And the other guy goes, you're Paul Giamatti, right? And I laughed so fucking hard. I was like, no. Then they wouldn't believe it.
Did you say yes or no?
I said no. And they're like, you're not. And then he kind of got serious.
Yeah.
You're not Paul Giamatti? Nope. Although he was amazing in the holdovers.
In his mind, it was like it just wasn't matching. It's almost like you were him and you were denying it.
Yeah.
He didn't believe you. He thought you were just trying to be...
Yeah.
He thought Paul was trying to be...
Yeah, that's
private.
The beauty of it is now I get to react however I want and it's on Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
So the story goes out there. I had Paul Giamatti in here. What a fucking dick.
Yeah.
I said, I'm a fan. Are you Paul? You're Paul Giamatti, right? And he said, no. Like, dude, no one's going to give a shit, okay? Yeah. Fuck you.
Was it a restaurant?
No, it was a pub.
Yeah. Was this person British?
Yeah, they were all, in London. Yeah, they were all British. Is that making sense, more sense to you now? Yeah. They don't know Paul Giamatti like we do.
No, he's... Paul Giamatti's us.
Yeah. And we are Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. We're like, that's our
You remember
that
boy.
Speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti is us. We are Paul Giamatti. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said yes.
No, I'm saying I remember that speech.
I know. You just said it.
Yeah.
You're the one who first said it.
You did.
No, you said it. And then I said, I remember that speech. You said Paul Giamatti is us.
Yes.
I said, we are Paul Giamatti.
But... And then I said that I remember the speech. I didn't say the word also, but I meant that I also remember the speech.
Yeah, but then you said you affirmed it after that had been established.
Well.
I mean, let's go back to wasting time, the concept of it, by saying too much.
That's the problem. Too much people. The problem is that people say too much within a sentence. They put in way too many extra words that are not necessary once an idea or thought has been established.
You know who's, in the sense of like saying five words that are kind of the same word,
yeah,
is Russell Brand, if you've ever listened to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Russell Brand will say numerous, extraneous, extra, unnecessary, or he'll say like five words for that are the same words, same meaning, basically.
Wow. It is something that people do, though.
It is, yeah. And just you and I both.
I think we're efficient with words. I think we're both efficient.
I'd say we're efficient and pragmatic and practical and economic and judicious with words. Yeah. Yeah.
I cleared my throat. Please edit that out and show me the edit. Edit it and show me. At some point.
I don't know if you know this or if they told you this. I have no idea what the communication is between you and your people, but you have final say over every single podcast that goes out, whether it's you or not.
Hardcore.
Yeah. So you...
Hardcore.
We did Scott Aukerman earlier. We got Jake Johnson, Tony Hale coming up, and you have absolute final say on that, on those...
On those guys.
On everyone, yeah.
Yeah, but I will say I'm actually very like giving, and I'm very like, oh man, it's cool. Like, no, don't worry about it, man. Like, I'm pretty down to earth and just very like, no, man. Like, whatever the edit is, I get final say, but I keep it real cool. Like,
yeah,
a dude, just some dude, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's why you get final say, is where everybody knows.
Yeah,
you're not a hard ass. You're not.
No, difficult. No. I'm like, don't worry about me.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll run this.
But do run it past me.
Yeah, we will run it just out of professional courtesy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. No, thank
you.
You
didn't see what I was going to do.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Wait, is the camera on, David?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, I should go dredge myself and we'll cut back to... And I'll just go, that wasn't the cue.
Camera wasn't on me yet. This is a very boring story I'm about to tell. But one of the producers on Portlandia was David Kress, mm-hmm. with the C-R-E-S-S. How funny is that?
That's a classic story.
How funny is that?
Yeah. That must have caused quite a few issues.
I remember telling him, and he was, you know, not moved either way.
Right, yeah.
I've heard that before. And then I just love retelling it.
Yeah. Because you can insert yourself into that story. That's what I love about it. It's one of those things, like, I can imagine if that happened to me or if I was there. Yeah.
Funny as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just small talk it was just small talk on set.
Oh, that's nuts. That's nuts. You know? That's one of the things I love about this business. It's unpredictable.
It's unpredictable.
I said that. Hey, you got to roll with the punches.
You got to roll with it no matter what happens, whatever the punches are.
Well,
and at times whenever it's boring.
What? That it what?
If it's boring, you know.
Go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Yeah, that's the credo. That is the credo.
So you did all these people today. You did Scott already.
Yeah, I only had, and then I went and did Andrew Santini. No. Andrew's. Take that again. I did Andrew Santino's podcast, and now I'm here with Fred Armisen from Television's My Three Sons.
That's right.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And did I tell you I'm working on a movie? Working on, it's not going. I'm working on developing a movie called A Baby and Three Men, which is a remake of Three Men and a Baby, but told from the baby's point of view.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Because Three Men and a Baby, it's all like, it's all the crazy stuff. Like, oh,
it's all about what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
But this is.
Maybe the baby's version is like,
who are these buffoons?
And I'm not asking for much, just feed me.
Yeah. You know, I got Steve Guttenberg over here. I get Ted Danson over here. And I don't even know who the third
person
is.
Who's the third guy is?
Nobody knows.
No.
You can't find out. There's no way to find out.
No.
We know Guttenberg, right?
Clearly.
We know Danson.
We
don't know the other guy. Who is it? Michael Lontkeen? We don't know.
Michael
who?
Keane, right?
Oh, is it Michael Keane?
No, I don't
Keaton?
Think so.
No. It's
Michael Keaton.
Tom Selleck, no wonder that fucking blue blood.
Tom Selleck,
yeah.
My three sons in the demo, like people. This is before, you know,
microwaves.
Streaming and microwaves and stuff. every night it would get 6 million people would tune in. Can you imagine 6 million people every night? It was a nightly show. There was one channel on TV.
Mm-hmm.
People would watch it.
Was it Murdoch owned or?
No, this is pre-Murdoch. This is the 50s. My three sons in its demo, kids, teenagers, preteen, adults, geriatrics, all watched. And they would watch on the TV. Like now, you know.
It's all over the place.
It's all over the place. A show gets, you know, 5 seasons, 4 seasons.
Yeah.
This had 20 seasons.
Yeah.
And these people were stars.
Yeah. And they were, they've got so many specifics now, like, you know, how many Lao in the Midwest are watching this such and such show? And we need more Lao. We need more Sri Lankans. You know, we need Peru. Where are my Peruvians in the house?
This had none of that.
Yeah.
And this is, you know.
The sad, tragic thing is, because this is before they were counting, that was the most popular show with Laos.
Technically, yeah. My three sons.
Yeah.
Incredible. This is a very different time.
And the guy had three sons, you know, and that's
and those were his sons.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's
they're not
the whole
other
thing. It was like,
sons.
It wasn't like his three sons or these three sons were near. It was his sons.
My
three sons.
Yeah. It's almost biblical. It sounds like a biblical story.
It's really, you know, that was his story.
Yeah.
They belong. They were of him.
Yeah, they were heartwarming, heart colding.
Yeah,
and also occasionally, you know, you'd learn something. You know, about behavioral sciences.
Yeah. A little known fact, FYI, a little trivia: shot on a soundstage.
I did not know that. Oh, I thought that was all on location. Really. Soundstage.
Isn't that wild? Living room, fake living room, kitchen.
No, because they will be in the living room, then they'll go outside.
Oh, soundstage. Wild
outside
is it?
Was a soundstage?
That was on the lot, but in a different area.
Wait. So you're saying the living room was not their living room?
No, it was a workplace. It was a studio.
Work at home, like
it was
COVID.
A studio. It's a set, like you see in a play. It's a set. How wild!
Wait, so you're saying they built a fake living room?
Yeah.
Where?
Burbank,
California. Oh, Okay, so in Burbank, California. Why Burbank?
Good question. That's where a lot of the studios were back then.
Oh, so this is in a studio.
I love this question, by the way.
Okay, so... So
they had a lot of... They still do. Warner Studios and Universal Studios are in...
And then, so they build a fake living room that looks like a real living room.
Yeah.
But how is it fake? What, could you live there?
Fake meaning you couldn't live there. And why?
Why not?
Because people go, why would you do that? Lighting, sound. So, I'm almost done. And then there's not the same time limits from people having to come home from work and they go to their real houses. Studios are like, we can work all day, we can work all night.
So why didn't they shoot in the actor's real living room? Wouldn't that be easier? You wake up, you come in, I'm in my living room.
Which actor?
They're living in the same place. My three sons.
No, they're all actors.
I know, but he and his sons were acting.
No, they're
from. So you're saying that this man and his three sons had to travel in from their real living room.
You're so sweet.
What? And they go to a fake living room.
You are the sweetest.
This makes no sense to me.
You're so cute. They're from different families. They're actors.
No, I know they're acting. I know. I understand the concept.
They have different names. They have different families.
Watch so it again. And watch it. Three sons with three different women.
Those aren't his sons at all.
Yes, they are. They're his sons. We just did the whole thing. My sons. My sons.
They're buddy, his son. Buddy. As actors.
I know they are actors. I understand. These people get up from their house. All right, kids, get up. We got to go to work. Acting.
These are
I know,
three
but they wouldn't say acting because it's
three different houses. They're from three different
houses. Why would they have three different houses?
Really, four.
What?
Really, five.
What?
Because for the other actor who played the butler.
I don't know what you're...
The main actor is...
The butler from My Three Sons?
There was
a guy.
Did
they have a butler?
Or a sort of helper. A guy.
Are you speaking about Uncle Charlie?
That's it.
Is it Uncle Charlie?
I think it might be Uncle
Charlie. Was it Uncle Charlie?
I think it's Burgess Meredith, too.
No. No, are you thinking of, hang on. Uncle Charlie. You're thinking of Ray Walston in My Favorite Martian?
Or Leave It to Beaver? Did they have one of those shows had a dude, but maybe it was Uncle Charlie.
A butler. Nobody had a butler.
I remember someone being like,
they're like middle class. Nobody had a butler.
A helper, a house guy.
Well, it's different. That's different than a butler.
But what was Uncle Charlie? He just hung out?
Pedophile? I mean, they didn't know that at first. That was
related.
Sort of...
They were related to him.
That was threaded into the plot. That doesn't... You don't really discover that until the penultimate episode.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Did you see the end of Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like that.
I had to think for a minute, but
they were inspired by My Three Sons.
Remember.
Breaking Bad was, I don't want to say rip-off, but an homage to
My Three Sons,
yeah. There's you make a direct line between Breaking Bad
and
My
anagram.
Three Sons.
Breaking Bad, My Three Sons, right?
What do you mean by anagram?
You know, when you take letters out and then put whatever letter you want back in.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you play with the letters and then Breaking Bad, My Three Sons.
So you take the B out, put an M. Take the R out, put in a Y.
And then you could switch them around a little bit and then, like, finally get.
You could probably switch
the.
No, none of the vowels.
My Three Sons. Breaking Bad. Yes. B-R-E-A-K. So the E. My three sons.
Oh, I thought it was the number three.
No, you take the two E's, bloop, put them at the end.
I thought, okay. So it's the word three.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I gotta watch this again.
They got 6 million views every single night. Could you believe it?
Mm.
Can you believe it? Now, The things we could sell. Now, you know, shows get 20 people watch it, 30 people.
Yeah. Have you watched Yellow Jackets?
I haven't seen it yet.
No, me neither. Oh, yet. You are going to watch it.
I will watch everything.
Oh, geez. All right. Have you seen? Can I seriously talk about some shows that I are just really great that I don't think got a lot of love, not enough. Pen 15. Do you see that?
I didn't see it, but everyone seems to love it.
It's
great. I will see it.
And the women in it are just, I mean, it's just really, really, really good. Really well done. And Reservation Dogs?
No.
It's great.
That looks really good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Start about two-thirds of the way through The Curse, which is brilliant and unlike anything I've ever seen on TV. Have you seen it?
No, but I think it's hard to find. Like
it is, it is.
Right? Like you can't get it on.
I got it through. All right, you're right because I searched it because I know I watched the first episode, and I was like, I want to go see the next episode, and I couldn't get it access it from the place I originally accessed it from. Then I went on the Showtime app, and I don't have Peacock. I think it is or Paramount or whatever.
Whatever
the fuck
yeah.
it is, and I was like, I know I saw this. And I know I was able to watch it, so how come? So then I searched it in the big TV thing, not you know, just for anything on. And then it popped up, you know, rent or free to watch with Paramount Plus. And I was like, I'm not getting fucking Paramount Plus and all these other things. And that, I was like, what's going on? So then eventually, it took me like another 30 minutes to if you go, at least on my system, through Hulu. You can watch it on Hulu, but initially when I went to Hulu, because I went to all the things, you couldn't. So I don't know.
Now you can watch it on Hulu?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do I think it's difficult then to find?
It was difficult. It was difficult for me. It wasn't because I went to Hulu. You know, the first I was like, all right, I know it's not Netflix.
Yeah.
So I know it's not Apple. And I was just trying to process of elimination. Then you have a Roku. We have the Roku thing. So I went through Hulu and what, I don't know, the way I went through it. And then I had to email Nathan Fielder, and I couldn't get in touch with him, but I got in touch with his mom, and I asked her, "Hey, I'm you know, obviously I was like, we've never met.
You
I know
say
your son.
Mommy, it's okay.
Okay, so mommy, we've never met. I know your son. And I'm trying to get it." And then she was like, "Oh, hang on, wait a minute." She's in Canada. And you know, there's a time difference. There's like a 10-hour time difference when you if you cross the border. And she kept saying, "What time is it there? What time is it there?"
Yeah, and you're like, "You know very well, mommy. We're 10 hours behind you."
Anyway. No, actually.
She's playing dumb.
Well,
people think it's cute, and I'm like.
She's 5 hours ahead, I'm 5 hours behind,
right.
So
yeah, but
those
she,
negate each
but
other, and then it's
knows.
The same time.
That whole you thing, know? What time is it there?
Yeah.
You know what you're doing. Yeah. Stop that.
I know, it's really condescending.
It's
a waste of time.
Waste of time.
Yeah. She walked me through it. She was having difficulty, because she had to call, I can't remember. It was like Nathan's fifth grade teacher or something like that. And eventually we were able to figure it out and get, it was through Hulu.
Great. Good. Well, I guess I'll have to find it on there.
It's great. I highly recommend it. It's really cool.
I just saw a documentary. I'm not all the way through it yet, about We Are the World. Like the video and the
is
recording
that
of it.
Interesting that has no interest to me. What it doesn't. I don't.
It's great. It's
really?
Like yeah, because okay. You're like the idea that like first of all to think of like that time in the 80s as that long ago. Now that footage looks like it really looks ancient.
Yeah,
it's not like. Oh, cute video. It looks now it looks like, oh, that is way another time.
What was that, 84?
Four, I think.
84, yeah.
I loved it. I loved
it. Okay. It didn't look very interesting to me. I got a little chilly. I'm bald, so, you know. I don't know. I'll check it out. I mean, the great Fred Armisen says, I have to watch this documentary. God. And what did I start? There was a documentary I started watching on the plane. I didn't get all the way through. I didn't even get about halfway through. But it has so many what the fuck moments, which are kind of, I have two favorite kinds of documentaries, and that's one of them, where just like capturing the Freedmans or something where you're like, what? You yeah, know, yeah. Where you find out.
That's just...
It was, I don't know the name of it. It was about triplets who were raised separately.
And they were part of like an experiment
yes,
or
yes,
something.
You don't find that out until like... Yeah. In fact, it was shortly after that that I, you know, the plane was landing, so I had to shut it down. But I gotta pick it back up because it's bonkers. It's crazy.
Three identical strangers.
It's
yeah, I heard that was really great.
It's just, you're watching, and it's fun to watch. It's a fun thing, and it's really like, it's very... sweet and hopeful, and when they meet each other, when the first two meet each other, and they're just like, oh my god, they're the same person, and they're just getting along, and then it's got one revelation after the other that make you go, what the fuck? So check that out. Three Identical Strangers. They tried to monetize the. They had like a, I can't remember what it was, like a clothing line or a pizza line, something they had, like the three, and they would do like openings of
models
and stuff. No, but it's good. They were like these goofy guys from Long Island or whatever. Yeah. Or actually, one was Long Island, one was, I think, the Bronx, and, you know, the other was Appalachia.
It's New York area people.
Yes. Tri-state area is what we'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we'd say.
Yeah.
What we would say. Not what you would say.
No, me on You're, my own, no. But no. Us together, yes.
Yes, we would say.
We would say that, yeah.
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 Tri-state area.
Yep. So that's tri-state area consists of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Vermont.
Pennsylvania,
New Hampshire, Maine, Maryland.
Yeah, and but not Massachusetts.
No. And that was by design.
Yes. Don't get me started.
You did start it, though. Oh, you're telling yourself that. You're telling yourself, Fred, all you're leaving out is the word Fred.
Yeah.
Fred, don't get me started.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Don't get me started. Okay. you got it.
Do you remember I think we were doing a benefit at the Bowery Poetry Club. We're doing a show I think Amber had put together.
I vaguely remember this, yeah.
And I played banjo, but I didn't know how to play. And
because it was at a venue in New York that was like, isn't performed at very much. It's like,
I thought it was the Poetry Club.
Meaning it wasn't the usual place that like I'd ever performed at before.
Right. But I want to say it was a benefit for something. And you did this, I don't know if you're still doing it, this amazing bit about, and it was fucking spot on, where you would talk to people in the audience. You'd go like, where are you from? I'm from Wisconsin. And then you would affect the accent and, Wisconsin. So a little up it, and you would do it. And it was almost like watching a mentalist perform, because every single fucking person was like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. And then I asked you, you came and sat down next to me, you were done, like, you know, we're hanging out. And I was like, so you have no idea what you're doing, right? You're just doing it. Yeah. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
amazing to watch.
It's a little bit like a magic trick or something.
It is, but that's why I said mentalist, because you're just leading them on and they're saying yes. And you are also are a good enough mimic that you are able to affect. It's like, yeah, sure. But you would get specific, like, oh, Eau Claire is like this.
And it's kind of like, I'm also like hearing them a little bit. So I'm just doing close enough
impression. Still do that?
Kind of. But now I do it more like, I'll just go through states and cities and say that like this suburb sounds like this. And...
But what was so great about it is what you were talking to specific people in the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were going, ma'am, where are you from?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm from Tenafly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so and you're kind of more like, yeah.
So great. And they're all just, all of them are like, yeah.
You got us.
Oh, man, it was brilliant. I urge everybody out there, if you can, go back in time to, do you remember when it was? I want to say it was a summer
2009 or something.
So summer 2009, get yourself to the Bowery Poetry Theater Club, something, and look on the bill. It'll be Fred and myself and Amber Tamlin putting it together, and get there early. If you're going to go back in time when you're setting your time machine, don't go at that moment because you'll miss it. Because the time machine, you know, spits you out on the Van Wyck. So you're going to have to get.
And also, don't look it up on social media when you're there, because there is no social media.
No social media. So get set that dial for like a good 2 hours before, but get yourself to the Bowery. And I urge you to see Fred's set. It's really, really funny. You're going to enjoy it. Do not, also, if you do that, don't approach either Fred nor I, because that'll fuck up the timeline.
Yeah.
And then we will cease to exist.
Yes. And so far, no one's done it because here we are existing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this hasn't aired yet.
Darn. So, yes, please.
Yeah.
Right. It hasn't aired. They wouldn't have had this information.
Right.
Well, but they would have had the information. Because
Now they would. At this point,
they would have.
From hearing what you're saying right now,
yes,
they've heard the information.
And so far, we still exist.
Right now, we do, while we're talking. In this moment, we still exist because they haven't gotten the information yet. But now that they're listening to it, they have gotten it. But you and I have gone our own separate ways.
Yeah,
I mean,
already.
This isn't going to come out for, you know, several weeks. So you tragically passed, and I got, I don't even know how it happened in such a short span, but I was knighted. And so
quickly.
Yeah.
I found out my death date.
Yeah.
January 9th. It's in many years, but I found it.
January 9th. Well, that's
my doctor told me.
So a few years from this coming Friday.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's another 30 years or something.
What were you looking at out there? Was somebody holding up
I think you guys don't believe in ghosts. You know I really believe in ghosts. Like
hardcore.
Heavily believe in ghosts.
Can you heavily believe in ghosts? You either believe in them or not, right?
Sometimes. Because some people are like, oh, I saw a ghost and a haunted. I'm saying that like, I believe strongly in ghosts all the time, right in front of me at a distance, somewhere close.
That's why you were looking over. You thought you saw a ghost.
No, I didn't think. I know I saw a ghost. I really believe it.
Sorry.
I very much believe in ghosts.
Okay.
In a real way, not like. In a sort of like, oh, something's haunted or this is spooky. I believe in ghosts.
And
crowds. As like there's crowds of ghosts.
Okay. Can you describe to me and to the audience what you see when you see a ghost?
Okay. First I hear the sound. Ooh. Mm-hmm.
That's not your stomach?
No.
Okay.
Then I see like sort of half figures, like the bottom half is faded, top half is in a suit with chains or whatever. And
all right. Teach his own ghost.
And, you know, candle holding a sort of candle, little night hat. And just different, you know, versions of that. Heights, different sizes.
And do they float or are they walking?
Yep. They float, but not up. Just they float around.
They're just hovering a few inches above.
Hovering, yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think they hover?
Because living people are on the ground. We have gravity. Yeah. They're not affected.
Because it's by just their soul that you're.
It's just their soul.
All right.
So they're like.
And why are they moaning? What is it about being a ghost
because
that makes
when moan? You're a human, that's when you speak and you have, you know, that's when you have like words and all that stuff. But when you're a ghost, you're not in a business meeting.
Oh, it's informal. They're just chilling.
That's the spirit.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, they have no schedule.
Right. So
there's not some political point they're trying to make. They're just
right. So are they communicating with anybody else, or that's just the sound?
That is the sound.
So they're when you hear that, if you're alone in a house in the toll or the woods or whatever, and you hear, that's a ghost just talking to himself, going,
yeah, making sounds as a cat would, as a, you know, any animal would. It's just like it's the sound of a ghost. They don't care whether you can hear them, and if you do, great.
Yeah. Okay. Do ghosts do any good, or is there a positive?
That's very human. That's a human thing. We do good. We do not good. Whatever. Ghosts are just like they're floating, and I've said this before. They're just floating. They're not humans. They're just making sounds.
Do they enjoy this? Is that something they like? Or?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the only human trait, is they really enjoy it.
Oh, so they know joy.
They know joy and enjoyment.
Okay.
I know. But
same family,
but they know joy and they know enjoyment.
Okay. Do they know enjoyment?
I don't know, because I haven't been able to.
Well, how did you amass all this knowledge?
Because I believe in ghosts.
Oh, I see.
I really believe in them.
Yeah. Not just a little bit.
No, and I'm not scared of them, and they're not hiding in closets.
Mm-hmm.
They're just everywhere.
Why would they hide? There's no reason to hide. You can't catch them. You can't do anything with them.
It's the dumbest thing. It's the dumbest thing that people have decided that they're hiding. And they're like, and what they've said to me is like, what are we hiding from?
I know. People check their shoes for ghosts sometimes before they put their feet.
Dumb as hell.
Stupid.
Stupid and dumb as hell. Mm. Under the bed. Ghosts are like, under the bed.
Safe deposit box. I know people who, before they go to sleep, will go to their bank, get their safe deposit box out,
and see if
it's open it up with the double keys.
Yeah.
Open it. Nope, no ghosts in here. Close it. Put it back in. Thank you, Mr. Harrington. And then, go back home and go to sleep.
Ghosts? No, they don't. They're just around.
Now, I want to. Something you said earlier is, it reminded me that it's something that's always bothered me since I was a kid. I never understood the attraction to the use of the purpose of a sleeping cap. And you'd see the old cartoons, and you'd see the old shows, and the guy with the candle holder, you know, whatever, is in a nightgown. That I get. Okay. Yeah. But also has a long...
What is
Groucho
it?
Groucho Marx had one, right? In his famous movie.
What on planet Earth? Why? How is that useful? Why was even one made?
Yes, right. Because somebody somewhere, it started with, I'm not sleeping well. How was it, Jebediah? I didn't have a good night. Again, I'm so sorry. I don't know what it is. I'm just not sleeping through the night very well. What if I knit you a cap and... You can wear it on your head. You mean like a beanie? No. This would be as long, it would dangle down to your feet. So it would be several feet long with a little
ball
at the end of it. That might make me sleep better. And then she did it. It took several months, but she finally got the thing. He wore it. And he was like, this is great. Like, we got to make this and market this.
Let's make this a thing. First of all, probably comes off easier. Because if it's longer, you're like tugging at it.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if Pharrell would wear one.
Oh, yeah.
I bet Pharrell would wear
maybe.
One.
Maybe. Ask him.
Casey, Google Pharrell
Long hat.
Singer, not the actor who played on MASH. All the singer, nerds and .e.r.d.s. And then... take away the S and the dot. And then, it was sleeping cap, question mark, arrow, ask if.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If it was me back in those days and someone was like, first of all, I wouldn't ask anyone to make me one. I'd be like, I'm cold when I sleep. We're in these cabins or whatever. I would just go get like a little beanie or a cap or something.
Yeah.
Just a little something. I don't understand it.
I don't get it. I truly...
The gown, I understand. It's something, you know.
The gown, it's, you know, whatever. We have to be clothed or whatever. Yeah. Or maybe need the warmth, but the cap...
Oh, my God. And also, what an insane look.
Well, I like the look. I think it's
no, I
hot.
Don't like the look.
I think it's hot.
I don't like the look. I think it's lame.
I disagree. Sorry, I think it's sorry cool.
I think to it's find erotic. My voice in this interview, but I don't like it.
Okay.
It's lame as hell.
Oh, come on. That's a bit harsh.
It sucks.
Hey, hey.
That look sucks so hard.
Hey.
Long hat.
Hey.
Get out of here.
Hey, hey.
All right, I'm sorry.
Well, Fred, we're coming to the end of the episode, and I close every episode with a question from my daughter, Marlo. Mm-hmm. And your question is, let me get my glasses.
Was my shirt open this whole time? Will you guys close this and like digitally?
Okay. Okay. Fred Armisen, question from Marlo. Why is strawberry ice cream pink instead of red?
Because once the cream and all these other ingredients have been added, it sort of color-wise waters down. It sort of there's a better word, but it
creams it down.
Creams it down. But there's something. It's something like dissipates. It's almost like it degrades the intensity of color, and that looks like pink. So you're mixing in cream with, for example, blueberry ice cream is more sort of like a light purple as you put cream in. It's because it's ice cream that it sort of dilutes the intensity of the color. Can you edit in dilute in the original version of the sentence, please, and show me? I'm sorry.
God, you should be.
I've been so screwed by these interviews and podcasts. I've been so screwed.
What was the worst thing that happened?
Oh, I had misused some words, and I'd gotten some stuff backwards, and they just highlighted it and put up the volume, and like my professor.
Oh, they made you look like a jerk.
Like an idiot.
Like an idiot.
Worse than a jerk. And my professor comes down, and he goes, what did I teach you? Did I not teach you the English
language?
Your
professor came down from upstairs? Where was he?
From the
balcony?
From the upper patio, balcony.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. Like my inability to find words, it makes me look as stupid as I am. That gets cut out.
But also, English is your third language.
That's English is my third language easily.
Yeah. Easily.
Well, because but anyway, that's my answer. Is the strawberries get diluted and other flavor ingredients get added in.
Okay.
But that's good. Now, she could argue, what about chocolate? That still looks like, you know, the same color of
maybe that color
cocoa
is more
beans.
Intense to the
color might be more intense.
Also, strawberries are often not red all the way through.
No, you cut them in half and you get some white and some, and you know, some different colors.
Worms, sometimes some worms.
Not where I shop. But sure.
Fred Armisen, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you
for being a part of this. We'll see you again.
Yeah. And
all right, you'll be back at 6.
Back at 6.
All right.
I think that's I was good. Your last one of the day.
You were.
I was looking at your calendar. Yeah. You have a calendar of who's Tony Hale is all day tomorrow. That's a long interview.
Yeah, we're going to do a long marathon.
Tony Hale. Not to badmouth anyone. But that dude.
You know, one of my favorite things is when really super nice guys, and Tony Hale is one of them, you meet in this business a handful of truly sweet, empathetic, genuinely nice people. And when that person, after knowing them for years, goes off on somebody,
it's the best.
It's the best.
Because it's almost like you're going like, that's the real,
holy
there
shit.
You are.
Yeah.
And it's such a shock. And it's also right on, too. You're like, oh, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best.
There are a couple. Jack McBrayer, you know Jack?
Yep.
The nicest guy in the world, right?
The nicest guy in the world.
And then he went off on this experience he had with somebody.
I I'll wait till we're done. I wonder if it's the same experience that I heard him talk about.
Oh, it probably is, because I can't imagine him. No, like, but he goes off. It's like 0 to 60. Lord.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that must have been bad.
Yeah, and Tony has, like, I've heard him go off like, wow, where's this?
Oh, it's the best, and it takes a while.
Oh yeah, I'm talking like years and years.
Yeah, you got to know him for a little while. Oh, it's great.
We'll try to get him to open up tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, Fred. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Senses Working Overtime is a HeadGum podcast created and hosted by me, David Cross. The show is edited by Katie Skelton and engineered by Nicole Lyons with supervising producer Emma Foley. Thanks to Demi Druchin for our show art and Mark Rivers for our theme song. For more podcasts by HeadGum, visit HeadGum.com or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and maybe we'll read it on a future episode. I'm not going to do that. Thanks for listening.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey guys, just announced a big show in Central Park on the Summer Stage, part of the Summer Stage series, called David Cross and Super Pals. That's going to be August 8th. It's going to be amazing. Got all kinds of really cool special guests. I know we got Bob Odenkirk, Sarah Silverman, Sean Patton, Fred Armisen, many, many, many more. Go to officialdavidcross.com. That'll have all the information for that. And the pre-sale, it just went out, and the pre-sale code is FUNFUN. I believe it's all caps. FUNFUN. David Cross and Super Pals. August 8th, Central Park. Come down.